Good morning. How are you guys doing today? It's beautiful. It's spring. Doesn't it feel like it's like we've turned the corner? No more snow, doesn't it? Oh, it felt like I brought out a spring shirt, and I'm just feeling pretty good about it. I love that we've moved something over. That's just amazing to me. And I know that that's not the only one. I know that we're going to have far more of these make their way over there, and I'm excited for that as well. Yeah, we're missing Tim and Barb. They're away. They're frolicking in the sun. He's posting pictures of the beach and coffee or something. I'm trying not to look because I don't want to be jealous. And he is texting us, just so you know, because this is what Tim does. And I think they were going to tune in with us this morning. So, Tim, you're on holidays. You can, stop texting me, bruh. Like, it's okay. So just so you know. So, yeah, we're praying for them that they have a good go of it, a good break, a good rest for sure. And, I'm excited about what God has for us this morning. We've been doing our What Are We Praying For series. And the thing is, like, over the last probably several months now, what we've been doing as a leadership, as we've been putting together our series and our sermons, is we've been trying to dig deeper into prayer. As individuals and as a church, like our last series was about big faith and big trust. It was about learning the character of God and how he's so trustworthy and he's so steadfast and he's a promise keeper. We actually just sang all about that this morning. And then we moved into this idea we moved into our small groups and our small group courses, and we've been doing the prayer course, and some of you are well on your way. Some of us have finished it. We actually moved into a second stage of the prayer course. And so this is kind of what we've been leaning into as a church and as a body, is the idea of who God is and how we can trust him. And now with our new series, What Are We Praying For?, we've actually moved into faith steps, into what it looks like to step into that big faith and what it looks like to trust in a big God. And we've been understanding that God's blessing is on us as a church. Like, God's blessing is on us. And then it goes through us as the church out into the world. Just like Sandra's neighbor, there was seed planting. There was the surety and the truth of who God is shared with someone. And that's gone out. And now that person has said, hey, you know what? I'm along for this journey. And so these are sort of the things that we've been learning over the last few months. And there's purpose to it for sure. And here we find ourselves this morning, and we got our prayer board, and we got our prayer board full. Like, there's hardly any room. By the way, if you haven't put something up, if you have something else that you want to put up on our prayer board, don't think that it's like one and done. Like, if you're praying for a few things, by all means, like, this is open. We have prayer cards, and we have our pins up here. At any point, if you feel like, hey, you know what, actually, I'd like to put something up, by all means, come up. Don't do it during my sermon, because it's going to super distract me. And it doesn't take much for me to pay attention to the squirrel that runs out in the parking lot. And we don't want to be here all afternoon, right? But here we are, like, this morning, we're waiting and we're anticipating for more of this to happen. We're in this moment of anticipation, is what we are. And I get excited about moments of anticipation. I think I've shared this before. Like, so Judah, our middle one, the one that walked out on me in the middle of my sermon a couple weeks ago. Now he's doing a great job back there, Judah. Give us a wave. There he is. Wonderful job today. Judah's a swimmer, right? Like, so he does competitive, he's in swim club and all that. And a few weeks back, he had a swim competition. And I didn't get to go see him this time around because it was during church, and so I was here. But that's what he does. He's a swimmer. But I've watched him swim before. And I love watching when the swimmers get ready and they step up onto that block, and they're up on that block, and you can see they're shaking their legs out and they're doing all this stuff. And you see these long swimmers' muscles just, I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous of those long swimmers' muscles. And you see them, and they're up on those blocks, and as they're getting ready, then they start to kind of bend down, and they're getting into position. And what they're doing is they're waiting for that starter gun to go. And what they're in is, they're in this moment of anticipation. Like, that's where they're at in that very moment. We've all watched the Olympics and all that. We know exactly the picture I'm painting. When all those swimmers are lined up and they're all, I can't, oh, that hurts my back. I don't have the long, lean muscles. And so we understand this picture of anticipation, and they're all just kind of ready and waiting. And when that starter gun's off, bam, they're in the water and they're gone like dolphins. Like I watched Judah swim, and I'm like, oh, I don't look like that when I swim. Like I can't even hit the water the same way he does. But this is the idea of where we're at now. As individuals and as a church, we're in these moments of anticipation. We've been preparing our hearts and we've been learning about God's character and how to pray and what to pray and what that all looks like. And now we're all on these starting blocks. And like I feel like at any moment here, even maybe today, what's happened is that starter's gun has gone off. And now we're getting in the water, folks. It's the deep end, just so you know. There's no touching the bottom of the pool with your toes. We're swimming. We've got into the water. And you know what? Like, as we talk about prayer and we talk about answered prayer, I know one thing is I think for many of us here, I think we've walked around long enough that some of us have experienced the big miracle moments. We've either witnessed them or they've happened to us or they've happened to someone that we know or we've heard the story of someone we know where it's the big miracle story that's happened, that healing that people were praying for has taken place. The relationship that's been broken has been restored. The addiction that had a hold of someone has been taken off and those chains have been broken. I think most of us have heard something like that. Like we had Jeremy Fast for a number of years. I mean, now he's out in Saskatchewan being a farmer, and I hear he's having a wonderful time of it. But when Jeremy Fast was here and he was working with Youth for Christ and we were over in the smaller space, Jeremy, he was bringing in those kinds of stories all the time. He was working with the street kids, and Jeremy had this boldness of faith, and he was praying for like legs to grow, and he was praying for all kinds of stuff. And I remember him bringing some of his people into the church service, and there was some crazy times that were happening in the middle of that. And I remember him telling me the one story, and it was a young gal that he brought in a bunch of times, and like she was dying in the back of his car. She was in the back seat and she was dying. She was overdosing and she had flatlined. And there's Jared driving to the hospital with one hand back, and he's praying over her and he's praying for a restoration, and she comes back to life. Like that's crazy. Those are the big miracle moments, and I think we've all experienced them in one way or another. At the same time, many more of us have experienced and witnessed the small miracle moments, and not that they're any less. Like Lindsay, you guys know Lindsay Hodges, my boss, my best friend. I hope he's watching because I just called him my best friend. He actually is in Ecuador, so he's not watching. So Lindsay always calls these little miracles. I think it was his grandfather that called these moments divine moments. He called them little miracles. And I think we've all, even if we haven't realized it, we've experienced these small moments or these small miracle moments where we're meeting the right person. And we're in the right place at the right time. And these things, these stories, they become our weekly good stories. Like meeting the right resource officer at the right time at a skate park. And then him opening all the doors to the schools in the West Shore for me. Those are miracle moments. Those are divine moments. And we've experienced these things. But at the same time, I know that many of us have gone through seasons where we feel that God's actually not hearing us. We're sitting there wondering, can you hear me, God? Like, is my mic on right now, God? It doesn't feel like you're hearing me right now. We're going through these desert moments, moments of dryness, seasons where it just feels dark and you feel alone. And sometimes it feels like that for a very long time. I know this about our prayer requests that we have here. I know that we have some prayer requests on this board where someone has been praying for this for a very long time. I know this. And it's not because I've picked them up and looked at them, because I've been there too, where I've been praying for things for a very long time. And I just sit there and I go, is God even hearing me? Am I praying it wrong? Am I praying for the wrong things? Why is this darkness? Why this quiet moment in my life? And we have to remember in those moments that God's timing is always different than our timing. Like we have to remember that our timing isn't the same as his. And so we have these prayers and these requests, and we go for years with them. And some of us have finally even taken them out of our secret hearts, and we've gone, okay, I'm waiting in anticipation, and I'm going to pin it here. Like that was me last week. I carried this secret prayer in my heart for years, and I felt like, okay, I'm on the starting block. I'm going to put it here in anticipation of what God's going to do with that. But it's not that easy for everyone. I'm sure that some of us here this morning are still hanging on to that. Some of us are still wondering, where is God in all of this? Why am I not hearing them? So this morning in our series, What Are We Praying For? We're going to be looking at rhythms of faith. If you're taking notes, rhythms of faith, holy habits, if you want it to be easier. We're going to be looking at three rhythms that are going to help us. Three rhythms this morning. The first is community. The second is scripture. And the third is worship. Why rhythms of faith? What does that have to do with God answering our prayers or God hearing our prayers? Here's why. Because it doesn't matter if you find yourself in a season of answered prayer or if you find yourself in a season of waiting, in a season of dryness, in a desert season. It doesn't matter which side of that you're landing on. What we want is that we want to align our hearts with God's heart. No matter which season we're in, what we want to do is we want to land facing Jesus. Regardless of the darkness or the light, regardless of all the answered prayers or none of the answered prayers, in life, you want to land facing Jesus. So Corrie Ten Boom, famous author, Holocaust survivor, she made this statement. This is a quote as she was talking about seasons of darkness, seasons of not being able to hear God. And she says this: when you find yourself in a long, dark tunnel, that is not the time to get off the train. When you find yourself in a long, dark tunnel, that is not the time to get off the train. Every day as individuals, every day as a church body, every day as City Light, what we want is we want to be more aware and more aligned with the voice of God. Every day, we want to be more aware and more aligned with the voice of God. That's why rhythms of faith are important. Our main scripture this morning is going to be out of Psalm 143. We're looking at verses 8 to 10. Let me read those for you. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. And so this psalm here, it's titled A Psalm by David. Very simple, very, very straightforward. And what we find here is David in crisis. Shocking, right? David, King David in crisis, like every other day, it was King David. Man, he made a lot of poor choices. Like for an anointed guy, man, I made some poor choices in my life, but man, like King David, that guy, like he wrote the book on it. Like I think I got more space to make some more bad choices in my life. Maybe a face tattoo. Don't tell Heidi I said that. She's downstairs teaching Sunday school. Don't tell her I said that. So what we do is we find David in the middle of crisis again. And here's his response to this crisis. Like, here's what he's saying. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. What he's saying here, he's saying, God, I don't think I'm hearing you properly. Can you help me to hear you? Like, every morning, every new day, can you help me to hear you? Because, like, I get a lot of stuff wrong, and I think I'm not hearing you properly, but you can help me to hear you properly. He's saying, you know, show me where to walk, God. Because what David did was he recognized that he really didn't know the way. Like, a lot of us like to think we know the way, but we don't really know the way. Like, if it wasn't for Google Maps, like, we wouldn't get anywhere. It's true. I think I've been here 10 years now in Victoria, and like, I think I know the way to places, and then I start driving and I'm like, oh, I don't know the way at all. Like, even when I go to, like, Save On Arena, like, I have to look at my Google Maps. I'm like, it's a simple drive. Like, it's super easy. There's two roads, and then you just cut. Like, it's super easy. You look at Google Maps, I'm like, it's there every time. Like, it hasn't moved. But if I don't look at my Google Maps, I'm like, do I turn on Tolmie? Is that a one way? Why don't they just make roads properly in Victoria? Why does the name have to change when I cross the intersection? And then it goes back to the original name. Who did this? Who's the civil engineer that got paid big bucks to change road names halfway through an intersection? David recognized he didn't really know the way. So he's asking God, can you show me? He's saying, hey, can you teach me? Because I think I know it all. Can you teach me how to hear you? Can you teach me how to see you? Can you teach me how to understand you? God, can your spirit lead me in the learning, in the moving, in the responding? Because what happens is the spirit leading us is the connecting point where God's teaching work and the Holy Spirit meet. When God is teaching us and the Spirit is leading us, that is a connection point. And that's when the Spirit guides us and he counsels us. He does exactly what he's meant to do. That's when he shows up. So really what David is saying in this psalm is he's talking about, God, can you help me align my heart? Can you help me align my mind and my soul so that I can see you, so that I can hear your voice? That's why rhythms of faith are so important. Because every day we get up and we get to say to God, can you be with me today? Can you help me along the way today? Can you correct me along the way today? And rhythms of faith will help us do that. So the first rhythm that I want to look at is community. Like, I'm all about community. Can you tell? Like, I'm a community. I love community. I love people. I love relationships. Like, I am a community guy. Like, oh, if I could do that for a living, oh, that's right, I do. Hebrews 10, 23 and 25, or 23 to 25. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let us not neglect meeting together. Don't neglect being together. We're not called into this faith journey alone. We're not meant to do it alone. It's actually the opposite of that. We're actually called to do our faith walk together. I understand that our relationship with God is a personal relationship. We have a personal one-on-one relationship with God. But then when we take that and we start walking in that faith, we're not supposed to do it alone. We're supposed to go together. Ecclesiastes 4, 10 to 12. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who... Oh, do you want to get that? No grace, eh? It's cold. I'm cold. I'm cold-hearted. That didn't even finish ringing and I called them out on it. I hope it's not my phone. Let me do it again. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We are meant to be encouraging one another. We're meant to be loving one another. We're meant to be motivating one another. We are stronger together. It is what it is. We are stronger. Yeah, that's okay. You can say amen. Thanks, Cheryl. Cheryl's the only one. Gold star. Cheryl just got another jewel in her crown. We're stronger together. It's true. My kids are soccer kids. My other two. Lennon here, whose season is over for now, so he's joining us on Sunday mornings. Lennon's a soccer head. Ruby's a soccer head. Did I tell you about the bet that these guys had for the soccer season? It was a great bet. It was whoever scores the most goals has to take the other one out for lunch. Whoever scored the least goals has to take the other one out. It was a race to see who scored the most goals. That's what I'm trying to say. And so they make this bet. Do you guys want to guess who won? Ruby won. Let's go, baby. She's a beast. I love it. She's got some finesse and a lot of power. Man, she runs right through people. So she scored 17 goals this season. 17. I know. Hey, Lennon. You want to tell us how many you scored? One. Let's go, baby. In his defense... He plays defense. So they're soccer heads. So I've watched a lot of soccer in my life. And what I've noticed is this. At the younger ages, when I'm watching Ruby's team play, even at the beginning of the season, they don't really understand the concept of team. They really don't. Like at 8, 9, 10, they don't really get the idea of what teamwork looks like. So what happens when you're watching Ruby and her team, at least towards the beginning of the season and some of the younger ones that were on her team, is that they don't understand that they have a better chance at scoring a goal if they work together. What they try and do is they got just a little bit of skill, or one of them's just a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger, and they take the ball and they think, I could beat that whole other team. Maybe once in a while. Really what happens is you're turning the ball over and the other team is going back the other way and they're scoring on you. It happens a lot. It really does. But what happened with Ruby's team from the beginning of the season to the end of the season is that like three girls figured this out. And what they started doing was they started playing as a team between three of them. And one or two passes completely changed the game for them. It completely changed the game. All of a sudden, one and two passes meant that you were scoring, and you were scoring your 17th goal of the season. It changed everything. One pass changed everything. Lennon's team, on the other hand, much older, much more skilled. I know he didn't score a lot of goals, but hey, you guys are going to the provincials. So that's, yeah. Oh, I'm bragging on my kids this morning, but you guys give me the mic, so it's your own fault. I can do whatever I want up here. Lennon's team is far different. You're playing U17, you got a bunch of 16-year-old. Like, these guys have been playing since they were like 4 years old. It's system. Like, you're playing a system now. And you're plugged into your system. And all the individuals within the system play to their strength. So Lennon's playing, what position is it? Right back, left back? I don't even know the positions of soccer, even though I'm Latino. Defense, that's what I call him, because I watch more hockey. And so Lennon plays his position because he's really good at it. And he's very good at reading the play, and he knows where to send guys, and he knows how to send the ball up. I know he plays center mid sometimes because he can see the whole field, and he knows how to direct traffic properly. And so all the individuals on that team, they play to their strength as individuals, but it makes the whole stronger. So what happens with that team is that it sets itself up for success when they stick to the system. When you got one or two guys that decide, hey, we're behind two goals, I'm going to make the difference, and I'm going to try and beat that guy with my skill and that whole other team, what happens is the system goes sideways, and it's super easy to defend. So they set themselves up for success when they're playing together. James 5, 16 to 18 out of the Message. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, human just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. The showers came, and everything started growing again. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. See, what happens when we play as a team, when we go together, is that we can have faith in the faith of others. Let me say that again. We can have faith in the faith of others. When we feel like we're not hearing God, we can look to those that are on our team. We can look to those who are walking the faith journey with us. And we can lean into them and into their faith. Does that make sense? We can have faith in the faith of others. So if you have put your prayer card up here in the last couple of weeks and you're not super sure that you should have done that, rest easy. Because you can have faith in the faith of all the others that have put their prayer requests up here and all the others that have prayed over these. You don't have to do your faith journey alone. And what happens is that when you're doing that together, you're aligning your heart with God so that you can hear his voice. It's important to gather. It really is. Without being Sunday-centric, Sunday morning is still an important gathering. And I know, I get it. We can't all be here every Sunday. I get it. I know real life. I've missed church on Sunday mornings here and there. I went to watch my kid play. Like, I get it. God gets it. We can't be here every time. There's things. When I went to watch Lennon play, it was the second game of that I watched all season long. And it was the final. I think God was okay with it, eh? Like, I think I was still honoring God because I went to watch my kid and love him like God loves me. So I get it. We can't be here all the time. We're not counting noses in our seats. Usually what I say there is you can't count noses and nickels. Lindsay said the last time I said that, it sounded like I said something else. I won't tell you what. I was like, no, I didn't say that. English isn't my first language. We're not counting the noses in the seats. But the reality is this, folks. The Sunday gathering is part of God's plan for his people. It really is. When Heidi and I came to a time to leave my folks' church, and we were going to go make our own way to find a church, what happened was we had plans to go to a specific church on a Sunday morning, and we got the time wrong. We're like, oh, shoot, I guess we're free this Sunday. Let's go for brunch. And then the following week, we were like, let's try this other church, because we were church shopping. And we were like, oh, shoot, we got the address wrong. Want to go for brunch? 7 months later, what happened was, is we were still going for brunch. We were still going for brunch. Because it's super easy to cultivate a habit. It really is. We didn't even realize we'd gone that long without going to church. We cultivated a habit of not going anywhere. We are called to community. There are priorities that we have to set. And if you can't be here Sunday morning for whatever reason it is, and I'm not going to tell you which ones are good and which ones are bad, that's not up to me, then find community. Like, find it and then dedicate yourself to it. Because it's part of the plan of aligning your heart so you can hear God's voice. Small groups, life groups. We got life groups. Our life group keeps growing. We get more and more people in our life group. They're going to be super upset when I split it. I already know that they're dreading it. I know that our people, they know that the time is coming. And they're like, ugh, I hope he waits another week. Don't worry, it's not going to happen till the fall, but it's coming. We are called to community. We need to go together. Like, we got to make those shirts. Hashtag, let's go together. Who can do that? Someone here? Can you put, we'll put someone in charge of that. We're going to have shirts that say that. Let's go together as a reminder. That's our first rhythm of faith. Our second one, scripture. Whoa, I know I'm dropping bombs up here today. You're like, whoa, I never heard of that before, Claudio. What? Scripture? Are you serious? That's a rhythm of faith. That's how I can hear God's voice. Guess what? Scriptures are the voice of God. Like, they're his love letter to us. You want to know what God is saying to you? You gotta land on scripture. Like, you got, that's gotta be your landing spot. You want to align your heart with the voice of the Father, go to his word. That is literally his voice for you. Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 16. But don't let it faze you. Stick with what you learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers. Why you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful in one way or another. You want to hear God's voice? Scripture. Jesus says this in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We have to be able to recognize the voice of God. So this week for me, I had to get a hold of Paul back there. Paul, go like this. There you go. Paul, I had to get a hold of him because I had to get something from my sermon title to him. And I start going through my messages, and Paul had given me his cell phone number. And what I did was I kept his message, and then I never saved it into my contacts properly. And so now I'm scrolling on like Friday night going through my messages. I got a lot of like messages from numbers that I don't save into my contacts. So I got to open every message and go, oh, you don't know, that's not the one. Oh, not. I should really save them, but I don't, and I should. And so I'm going through, and I can't find it, and I'm scrambling, and I'm trying to find Paul's number, and then Paul gets a hold of me. He goes, hey, this is Paul. Here's my number and my email. Oh, here's my stuff. Sorry for the late blah, blah, blah. What happened is I didn't have him in my contacts. I didn't know his phone number. I had no familiarity with Paul's contact information. Now I do. As soon as you sent me that, Paul, boom, in my contacts, Paul. And I have, obviously, last name and all, because I got like 20 Pauls in there. I was like, okay, I need to know which Paul I'm texting or calling. Now what happens with Paul and myself is now I can become familiar with Paul. Now I can call him, and I can start to recognize who I'm talking to. So if Paul calls me now, it'll come up and I'll know who it is. Because before, if Paul called me, it would have been just a phone number and I would have been like, who this? That's how you say it if you're cool, by the way. Who this? I would have been like, who this? And I probably wouldn't have answered. Or if I did answer, I would have been like, hello? And Paul would have been like, hey, it's Paul. And I would have been like, which Paul? Which Paul are you? I don't know. But now I can become familiar with Paul if he calls me. The scriptures help us to become familiar with the voice of God. And that helps us to build relationship with God. We're going to be able to recognize his voice more and more and more the more time we spend hearing his voice in the scriptures. And we can go to God's word for both education and revelation. We can go to it for both. It helps us to tune our ears to the Holy Spirit, and it helps us start our conversation. Peter Gregg from the prayer course, he says this about how to engage the scriptures. First of all, read it. Like, you got to start there. Like, you got to read it. You're not just going to absorb it by having it on your countertop. Read it. That's called familiarization. Pick it up and read it. Secondly, explore it. That's imagination. Take time and think about what you're reading. Engage it. Third, pray it. That is your conversation with God. Lastly, enjoy it. That is celebration. Celebrate where and God, how God has shown up in the scriptures that you're reading. That's our second rhythm of faith that'll help us tune our ears to who God is and what he is saying. Lastly, worship. Worship. What worship does is this. It creates space for both thanksgiving and lament. What worship does, it creates that space for thanksgiving and lament. It's how we can have our end of the conversation with God. It's in times of worship that we experience that freedom to come to God as we are. Broken, messy, hurting, wondering, asking, loving, thanking, glorifying. In times of worship, we find the freedom to come to God exactly as we are. It's where we can come and we can recognize his goodness. And we can come and we can cry from our depths. And you know what happens in that? He meets us in both of those. Michael Lang, he's a Christian worship artist and a worship leader. He says this about worship. When we understand the greatness of God, the stability of his character, the perfection of his justice, the depth of his grace, the limitless nature of his love, the wonder of his holiness, and the sacrifice of his son, it should not be difficult for us to be moved greatly in our desire to worship God and worship him passionately. When we understand the character of God, we should be moved into worship. And let's remember this about worship. It's not something that begins and ends on Sunday morning between 10:30 and 2 o'clock today. If you're visiting today, I'm just joking. I'm not going to keep you here until 2 o'clock. Maybe. Worship isn't something that begins and ends on Sunday morning. It's like prayer. We have to do it continually. It's the acknowledgement of who God is and his power and his glory. It should be part of a routine thing that we do all day long. Worship is acknowledging who God is. Do it continually. Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. God will meet us in worship. It becomes the two-way conversation. All three of these rhythms are going to align our hearts so that we can hear and recognize the voice of God, even when we're going through moments of darkness. It's a rhythm. Don't change your rhythm. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. As I close today, some of us might be sitting there going, yeah, those rhythms, Claudio, they seem pretty basic. Like, we all know those rhythms. We know we're supposed to gather, and we know we're supposed to read the word, and we know we're supposed to worship. Like, it seems pretty basic. Some of us might be sitting here today in those moments of dryness, in those dark moments, and you might be thinking this morning, like, it feels like there should be more than that, Claudio. There should be more to it. Like, there should be more things that we can say or do so that we can hear God's voice in our desert time. Maybe today you're looking at this going, yeah, that sounds like you're just going through the motions. Like, you're just going through the motions. You're what? You're going to church on Sunday and you're reading the Bible and you're singing a few songs. That sure feels like you're just going through the motions. And we really use that statement as a negative thing, don't we? Just going through the motions today. I feel that way sometimes at Breakfast Club. I'm like, oh, these kids are making me crazy. I just feel like I'm going through the motions today. I can't wait for them to get into class. But the truth is, it's not actually a negative statement. Because here's what going through the motions through our rhythms of faith actually do. It actually becomes a process of deepening and growing our faith. Stick to your rhythms of faith. And what will happen is that you will deepen and you will grow your faith. I think that all of us here, we want to know God more. Like, I don't think that's an outrageous statement this morning. As individuals and as a church, we want to know God more. We want to know what he's calling us to. We want to know what he has us praying for. We have to walk in rhythms of faith, folks. Building our belief. Believing for one another. Celebrating our good stories. Encouraging one another. Holding each other up. Sometimes correcting one another. But we do it together. At the end of the day, City Light, we're doing this together. We're going to believe for one another. We're going to believe for our neighborhood. We're going to believe for the kingdom. And we're going to do it together. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we know that you are a God that wants to be part of what we're doing. You want to have your hand on us. You want to point your holy finger down into places and go, this place and this place and this person and that family and this business and this street and this house and this friend and this family member. You want to anoint spaces for us and you want to say, here's where I'm sending you. Father, we want to be able to hear your voice, and we want to do that well. We want to respond. We are in anticipation. We have been in anticipation. We're on the starting block. Today, we jumped in the water, and we moved a prayer card. We're in the water with you now, Father. Help us to just be in those rhythms. Help us to know when and how to meet with you, Father. Help us to just not set these things aside. Help us to deepen and strengthen our faith. Help us to have faith for one another. You have big purpose. You have big plans for our own lives, for our neighborhood, for our church. For our mission field, you have big plans. We want to hear you clearly. And then we want to respond, Father. So help us to write that into our hearts today. Help us to be together. Help us to sit in your word. Help us to worship you. Remind us every morning, Father, that is how we're going to walk our faith journeys. And thank you for your mercies every day. Every day when we get it wrong, the day before, you say, okay, we're going to start again. Oh, that's good news. We bless you, Father. We worship you and we recognize your bigness. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Amen.